You know, here's my disclaimer statement, is nobody paid me any, you know, anything. And this, so this study I'm doing today, it's really, it's sort of the end stage, like the fifth year or something, of a long grant involvement I had with Retirement Research Foundation from Chicago. If you don't know them and you're in this field, it'd be their gerontology or caregiving or whatever, go meet them. They're tremendous people in Chicago, and I love them. And with this grant that I got from them, it had three phases over like a 3 or 4 year period. The first one was to assess, and we're going to be talking today, the point of this whole talk today is about employer-sponsored elder care giving programs. You may not know what those are. By the next 10 minutes, you'll know what those are, and you can reach some initial impressions on them. But the first stage of the project was first getting employer perceptions about what these elder care assistance programs are and how they work at their place of employment. And there was, as you can tell, there's papers that have come out of this. The second stage was get employees who have actually used these employer programs for elder care assistance, get their impression and perceptions about the value and the usefulness of these programs. And then the third stage, which we've just sort of finished, I guess, late last year, was to go out and visit, do case studies, go make visits to the employers that were sort of voted or deemed by the employee users to have the best quality elder care program. So we went and we did case studies and sort of examinations of those programs. That's what we'll talk about today. So the background, I think most of you guys know this, or you may not know this, I'm not sure. I won't call for a show of hands, but anyone have previous experience with employer-sponsored elder care programs? All right, so this is cool today. This is new information. But here it is, of large employers like the Fortune 500 company, you know, as many as 25 to 50% of large employers offer some kind of elder care assistance to their employees. Their rationale, their motivation is that the large employers believe that those programs can help their workers stay productively employed. So they're not doing it totally altruistically. They're doing it because they want to work productively, and they know that especially as the workforce ages, there's a lot of workers, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s who have elder parents or elder dependents or relatives of some kind, that means that there's a chance for missing work due to those. You know, here it is, most acute amongst workers 40 to 65 who must balance their work responsibilities with caregiving needs, both for their children, sandwich generation stuff, and elderly family members. These elder care services are usually provided under contract by commercial vendors who are contracted with, who are paid for by the employers. And there's, as you can imagine, there's been very limited research, basically pretty much no research, no published research in this area. So type of employer-sponsored elder care services, here's a list, I guess you can read it. But the most common types are elder care resource and referral services, usually telephonic, and this vendor organization provides the user who's an employee with information on information, referrals, sources of help. There's elder care counseling services that are provided through employee assistance programs. There's these high-end services which cost a lot of money called elder care management services, which where you get a trained geriatric case manager doing an assessment, you know, paid for through this employer plan, which is pretty cool. Some of them are like up to 10 hours per year or something like that, but 10 hours of a trained geriatric case manager to help is really quite significant. And you can see some of these other kinds of common employer-sponsored elder care services, work scheduling, long-term insurance, emergency short-term elder care. Some companies even, believe it or not, have on-site adult daycare facilities. You know, so the worker comes, they drop their parent off, and they go to work, which is pretty cool. I'm going the other direction. So our first study in 2008, here's, again, we were looking at employer perspectives, what works, what doesn't work. And here's the employer's perspectives of what they found with regard to various types of elder care services. This was what kind of services were offered. So this was 176 senior human resource officials actually at Fortune 500 companies. Right. I didn't want to say of 500, because it sounds like the response rate is pretty low, but at least it's 176 senior human resource managers at Fortune 500 companies. And you can tell the most popular kind of service provided is this counseling through employee assistance programs. This is offered to all their employees, 69.6%. Flexible spending accounts, 57% of Fortune 500 companies offer those. 44% offer resource and referral services, and so forth. Some of the employer perspectives about what works and doesn't work. So at least in the eyes of employers, flexible work scheduling and leave programs aid in employee recruitment, aid in employee retention. You can see long-term insurance is deemed by employers to be useful in helping to retain employers, as are elder care management services. These resource and referral services, 58% of large employers believe that those services are effective in decreasing absenteeism. The most effective, I guess, is again thought to be these more expensive elder care management services, as well as the long-term insurance for elder dependents. Flexible spending accounts were the most popular in terms of decreasing employee stress about elder care issues. And in terms of boosting productivity, elder care management services and long-term insurance for elder dependents. But they all got pretty good scores, actually, now that I'm looking at it. Even the resource and referral services, the fact that 63% of employers thought that those services boost productivity. So that's the employer's perspective. Then we did a study, and we published that and so forth. Then we got a next study the next year. We went to users of these services. So these are employees. These are the users of the services. So were the services useful in helping to find and arrange care for your elderly dependent? How useful was the service in ensuring good quality care for your dependent? And how useful for the service helping to minimize the expenses of your dependent's care? So we didn't actually interview the elderly person getting care, but we surveyed the employees about their perceptions of the care that was coming to their elderly people. And you can tell here is that, you know, either useful or somewhat useful. So if you add up those numbers there, it's about, 38% and 46% is about 84% felt that these services were either very useful or somewhat useful in helping to find and arrange care for their elderly dependent. So you can see that as a glass half full, that's 5%. Or you could see it as half empty, and only 38% found them very useful. I view it as more of a positive than a negative. I mean, it shows that there's some perceived effectiveness here of these services. How useful was the service in helping to minimize the expenses of your dependents' care? Most people felt like it didn't really save that much money. But it was useful in helping to find and arrange care for the elderly dependents. That's good news. And here's another one from employee user survey. How many people did we have respond to this? 447 employees with 975 elderly dependents. But these are all employees who actually used services. And there was a tricky way to find, to actually contact these people, because we had to find out who actually used services, and we had to go to the vendors to sort of find out who used it. And there was all kinds of confidentiality and IRB issues, but we worked that out. So where am I? Am I going the wrong direction? Yes. So on employee users, so here it is. How useful for the service in helping you to work, to keep working productively? Very or somewhat useful, 74%, that's good news. How useful for the service in helping you to maintain a good family life at home, 72%, that's good news. Not much of a problem to get to use the services. And 82.3% were very or somewhat satisfied with the services provided by the vendor organization. So it's not a totally rosy picture, but it's, I thought it was a pretty positive assessment. So here's some of our new study, our most recent study that we just submitted to, I think, Journal of Applied Gerontology, and we haven't heard back from them yet. But it's about case studies and then some policy recommendations. So we actually went out to these employers that were from the 447 employees with 975 elderly dependents, they came from 108 distinct employers. So we went and we saw what the ratings were by each employee about the usefulness of the program at each of those 108 employers. And from those 108 employers, we picked the three highest with the highest rated elder care programs. And we said, okay, they've got to be good programs because at least in the eyes of the employees, they were useful. So we went, we visited those three sites. These are all big companies too. These are Fortune 500 companies. We made on-site visits. We spent a half a day with each. We interviewed each of them and gathered information and data from each of those employers. All the employers were very excited to see us and to be written up like this, as you can imagine. We didn't use their names, but they were still excited. And then we organized a whole analysis of these three employers. And that's a lot of words here. I have handouts for this too. Anybody wants to get a handout when they leave, I'll leave some right here. But here's some of the features of the highly ranked programs of these three highly ranked employers. And I'll just go back for a second here. One of them, employer one, was a nationwide accounting firm with 26,000 U.S. employees. The other one was a business consulting outsourcing services with 23,000 U.S. employees. And the third one was large financial services and insurance firm with 36,000 employees in the U.S. All white-collar workforces, which is was sort of interesting that those were the three most highly, not surprising, those were the three that were highly rated. So, so the results, the common features of the highly ranked programs, large corporations, predominantly white-collar workforce, employment policies that allow for extensive flexibility in work scheduling and work assignments, including Family Leave and Medical Act leaves, senior managers who believe that elder care programs can ultimately enhance workforce productivity. They all had measurement processes in place to measure the impacts and results of their elder care programs, which I thought was pretty cool. They all aggressively communicate the availability of the services to their workers. These companies all had very close cooperation between themselves and the vendor organizations who are providing the services. They establish formal expectations with the provider organizations contractually. And here's our final policy recommendations from the study. Let me just list all of them here. I think it's one slide. Yeah, it is one slide. So we call, so the, over 5 years and three different studies, our basic conclusion is that we think that there is a possible role in the big scheme of how to care for elders in America and caregiver burden. We think that there ought to be more attention given to the role of employers as far as helping to provide resources and financing and wherewithal, you know, to help employees stay productively employed and to provide better care for the elder caregivers. So that's our final bottom line. We suggest potential regulation certification of the vendor organizations. We suggest better coordination of employer elder care programs with other available resources such as commercial long-term care insurance, tax breaks to set up these kind of programs, especially for small business, additional data analysis and research, of course, and engagement of gerontology community with issues pertaining to corporate elder care services to bring in those resources that exist within the gerontology community. So that's my spiel. It looks like we got about 2 minutes or so left for questions.
Did you see any difference before and after the recession? Because some of the data was from before and some was from 2008, some was from 2004, really.
What we saw was this, and this is just impression. This is just a qualitative impression. It's not like data based on things. When this project started, it really started again in about it actually started probably 2006 into 2007, but then the papers got published 2008, 2009, 2010. But so when we first started, there was tremendous interest in this, and there was a tremendous lot of excitement amongst employers and everybody about this issue. And then, and it was part of this whole work-life wave. Someone mentioned before, like a wave that happened in the mid-2000s around work-life issues. So it was a lot of momentum. Everyone was so excited. And then, yeah, there was really a decline. There was really a decline, partly because of the recession, partly because it almost seemed like people didn't care as much anymore. You know, but I'm convinced there's still a role here. You know, and the thing is this, large employers are still speaking with their feet, meaning 50% of Fortune 500 companies are still sponsoring these kind of programs. So it is actually working and it is actually in place. You just don't hear about it very much and it doesn't get subsumed into policy discussions very much either. I did. We did. The reason was that we knew what we were going to find. What we were going to find is this is very, very few efforts of small business. And you had to be a pretty good-sized company with pretty good resources to really make it happen. And most of the companies we found that were really doing great stuff in this area were pretty much white-collar kind of companies. And it's because they want to provide these services to these kind of employees, you know, who have the wherewithal to, like, really want to get into caregiving arrangements for their... I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm just saying it's sort of a bounded way.
Well, they're also a population that
Okay, thank you.